We've come as far as 1 Timothy. We left off last week in chapter 4, verse 7. I'm just going to read through the entire chapter, and then we'll start in 7, verse 7. Let me get there real quick. All right, I'm going to just read through starting in verse 1. So God just bless the reading of your word. The Spirit clearly says, in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits, things taught by demons. Such teachings will come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared, God bless you, as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and even order them to abstain from certain foods, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving and prayer, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. And this is where we'll start. Actually, one more verse. If you point these things out to your brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Verse 7. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness, well, that has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. And for this we labor and we strive, for we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down upon you because you're young. See, I don't let anybody look down upon me. But set an example for the believers in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. That's what we're doing here. And to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect the gift which has been given you, thank you, Lord, through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone can see your progress. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we're starting off in verse 7, and we're going to go through verse by verse so that we can understand what it means for ourselves. It says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales, but rather train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both this present life and for all eternity, or for the life to come. How true is that? So the Apostle Paul is now switching. He's giving us like something that would be familiar, at least to them, but probably to us too. He's giving an athletic illustration, as they would understand a Greek or Roman athlete. If they were going to train for the games, they would have to start bulking up on meat proteins to develop that muscle, right? They would have to stop eating the food that's bad for them. I won't even say what's bad. Donuts like I had last night. They should probably stop doing that. Anyway, they would have to start eating those meat proteins so they could build muscle, stop eating the bad food that's going to slow them down, and exercise regularly if they wanted to be victorious in the game. And honestly, that's just like us. It's the same with us spiritually. Listen, if we want to grow spiritually, right? If you don't want to be a man baby, listen, you can be old and be a little baby in Christ. Right? You could have gone to church for 10, 20, 30, 40 years and really not know the heart of the Lord or the word of the Lord or living for the Lord. And so what we have to do is the same type of thing. He's saying, I want you to train yourself to be godly. He's saying, Christian, you got to stop taking in so much of the junk of the world and start taking in more of the meat and the protein of God's word. Okay? And that's going to build your spiritual strength. That's going to build your spiritual muscle. Listen, you don't want to be a man baby and a woman baby in Christ Jesus. It's no good. It's no bueno. That's for you. Anyways, Hebrews 5:13 talks about spiritual weakness. Okay? How silly would it be to have Pastor Gary dressed up like this? Now, if we could see your spiritual strength or weakness, right? How would we be dressed? Are you strong in the Lord or are you weak in the Lord? A baby can't do much for themselves. They just whine, cry, everything's bad. Gimme, gimme, gimme. It's all about me, right? Baby's not saying, hey, can I serve in children's ministry? No, the baby's like, just gimme, gimme, gimme. I'm going to complain. I'm going to whine. That's what a baby does, right? Paul is saying you need to train yourself to be godly. Now, actually, I made two scripture pictures for this particular verse because I liked it so much, and it emphasizes a different thing. I'll say that. I couldn't think of the right words. But this is what it says. He was actually rebuking some of the Christians. And he was telling them, look, in fact, though, by this time, you ought to be teachers. You've been going to church for a long time. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. He says, you need milk, not the solid food, or as the King James says it, strong meat of the word. He's like, you need to just go back to having milk like a little bitty baby. You don't want that to be you. I don't want that to be you. I want you to grow and be strengthened into a strong woman or a strong man of God. That means that you got to work at it. Train yourself to be godly. Now, you don't want to be this. I hope this doesn't cause anybody to stumble. I used my own picture for this, and I put somebody else's face. I didn't. I'm kidding, of course. And this symbolizes the spiritual strength as we eat the meat of God's word, right? Not the elementary truths, hey, salvation, fruit of the spirit. There's the deep truths of God. As you are taking these in, as you're hiding them in your heart, as you're getting rid of some of that yucky stuff that's in your flesh, some of that yucky stuff that you know shouldn't be there, as you're taking that out of your life, as you're putting good stuff in your life, right? That's where you're going to grow. Right? That's where, when you're eating that strong meat of God's word, right? That's where the growth takes place, right? Most people, they just want to flitter, flutter, come in. I want you to feed me, Pastor Darren, like a mama bird. And then, you know how they feed those little baby birds? They chew it up and then spit it. Oh, it's so gross. And the baby's like, oh, delicious. In that, we don't want you to be that. We want you to grow up to be, I was going to say big bird, but that doesn't sound right. We want you to go and to be able to eat the meat of God's word, to be strengthened in the spirit of God so that you'll be strong in the Lord. Because then you're going to be teaching others. Then you're going to be serving others. Then you're going to be helping others. But it takes work. It takes work. When a Christian puts that time, that exercise, that discipline into their spiritual life, they'll grow much stronger and faster to accomplish what God has called you to do. It's just the truth. Look, you know why? Why aren't I growing? Why aren't I seeing? Many times it's because we're not putting in the time. I don't really want to go to that. I don't want to go to the Bible study. It's Thursday nights, and Thursday night is fill in the TV show. Or I had the worst day. Oh, Pastor Gary, I know you're going through the book of Exodus, but, Tuesday night, can we not have a better night for that? And I just don't want to. What are you having? Are you having pulled pork? Because if you're not, I'm not coming. Who's teaching tonight? Oh, is it that girl? I don't think God will speak to me through that. Listen, whatever it is, I don't want to do my devotionals. Listen, let me tell you what. I can get on my phone easy peasy, lemon squeezy. But God wants you to train yourself to be godly. After getting on your phone to do devos, good. But it's so easy. And look what it says here, folks. It says, train yourself to be godly. It doesn't say, Pastor Gary trained me to be godly. I don't want to do any work. I just want you to do it for me. No. Listen, If you want, here, we're willing to invest in you. You need a devotional, it's yours free in Jesus' name. Hey, that costs a lot of money. We give out books. We send books all over the country. We do continually, devotionals, books, Bibles, anything. You want good teachings on audio? From solid teachers, not wacky preachers with the little demon, tongue, teaching these bad drugs. We got them for you. I'll give them to you, and we'll do it joyfully. But you have to choose to listen. And we want to encourage you to do so. Train yourself to be godly. God has saved you. And now it's our job to live for him. Don't be like, yeah, but I don't really like my job. I just want the money that comes from the job. I want the blessings, Lord. I don't want to actually do work. That's like the man baby or the woman baby, not like the strong man or woman of God. Does that make sense? Okay, I saw multiple hands go up. So, Pastor Gary, I know you have the mic. If you wouldn't mind, I'll take a drip. I'll take a drink of my delicious fire drink.
It also says that he is perfect in our weakness. Many times where I just felt completely exhausted or depleted or just felt like, I don't think I should go. I don't think I... All of a sudden, the Lord would put on my heart, that verse where it says, he's made perfect in our weakness. And, I'd be like, all right. It would reach to a point where I just had to give it to him. It wasn't by my own strength. Trust me, I wasn't going there by my own strength to, let's say, the Billy Graham meetup. Yes. Originally, I was actually very exhausted. I didn't want to go. I felt like, the day was unfair to me. I didn't, I was having. Yeah. But then, I trusted in the Lord, knowing he made it perfect in my weakness. And you know what? He used it for a good thing.
Yeah.
And many times when you feel that, just remember that his word is perfect for you in your weakness.
Yes, especially then. Could you bring the microphone back? Thank you. You guys are allowed to make comments, or I want to hear from
Thanks.
You. Because the Holy Spirit is in you, and will speak to you and through you.
So, athletes, when they train themselves, one of the things they do is work out.
Obviously.
Yeah. And in Philippians, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Right.
And that's not like, well,
I'm doing works to get saved. Right?
It's work out means work in your salvation.
Yes.
Make sure that you know what you're doing.
Yes.
And it's physical or it's spiritual training.
Yes. That's exactly right. And that's the only, there's no, listen, can I tell you, I can't say that. I was going to say I'm a guy, but that's not fair to guys. I am a lazy guy, apart from the Lord, okay? Now, I'll work 18 hours, 19 hours late. I was so tired last night, and then I had, been attacked all night. I was 19 hours. I don't even know what I was saying last night. I was like trying to get to bed. I was trying to stay awake to do a little bit more, and I couldn't even formulate thoughts. I'm like, what am I even typing in? I don't even know. Go to bed, but here's how I would like to learn. This would be ideal for me, for Pastor Darren. I would like a matrix-like thing where I could just USB, collect, and have it downloaded into my brain. However, God's like, yeah, that's not going to work for me. I want you to learn to grow, to be strong in the Lord. And that never comes in an easy-peasy kind of way. It comes by training yourself to be godly. If you're going to be good at anything, even if you have natural ability, baseball, you need training to become better and to get stronger. Go ahead. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, I wanted to say also, too, if you're not in the Word for yourself, you might not even know what you believe. If you're having someone just spew every Sunday, you
yes.
might not even know if this is the truth if you're not, training yourself up.
Absolutely. Yes, and right now there's more. You read it in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. There's going to be, in these later days, stuff is going to be taught inspired by demonic forces, right? It's going to sound great from pastors and preachers, but it's going to be really cool. They're going to have the biggest churches and the most money and the most programs, probably. But is it really of God? You know what I mean? And so We need to know what it says for ourselves. You do, because you have friends and family that are going to look to you. You're all shepherds or shepherdesses. And it goes on to say, listen, this godless myths and old wives' tales, what he's saying is there's always going to be something new. New doctrines, secret truths. A new book will come out of this thing. Oh, if you really, this is the way. This is the spiritual. Listen, Paul's saying like something that's newly discovered. Listen, if there's, if it's true, it's not new. It's true. It's not new. And if it's, wait, how's it go? If it's true, it's not new. And if it's new, it's not true. Thank you. Thank you. But the bottom line, Paul's like saying, hey, there's going to be so many of these things. Pastor, you want to go this way? Oh, I want to go this way. And every bad teaching is really exciting and fun to follow because it usually feeds your flesh. Who doesn't want that? Or this mystic book or this, hey, what about this gospel? I don't even want to say there's a million different things, but they're all going to take you the wrong way. There's so many of them. He's saying, Paul's like, listen, I don't want you, Timothy, and I don't want you, congregation, to focus on all those bad things. Now, it might be good to learn some of them because they're leading people astray, but instead of focusing on them because people will continually come out with new and shiny stuff and present it, folks, I want you to focus on the word, on godliness, training yourself to be godly. Focus on that rather than all these things. And it says in verse 8, most things are going to fade over time. Physical training. My wife said something to me. It was oh so hurtful. She didn't realize it. She didn't mean it. But she's like, I was trying on a shirt. Most of my shirts I'm having to give away, they're all extra large. And I filled them out. Now, they're not filling out no more. Now they're like larges and some mediums. And I'm like, what's going on? At least it's like, you know, maybe you should start eating a little bit more protein again. You know, I didn't mean it in any bad way. It was just, but I'm like, oh, you know what? It's all going to fade. All the muscle that you put on, all the beauty that you have, I hate to say it, at some point, guess what? Bye-bye. So listen, instead of investing all your time in those things, even money, you know what I mean? How these people work all their lives and then they drop dead. Hey, listen, all these things, it's all going to go bye-bye. So instead of investing all your time in all these other things, invest the time, right, in godly things. Because that's going to last forever. God's word, which does not change. Listen, things change. You know, I could give you a million things. But things change in our culture, right, left, today, tomorrow, 4 years ago, who knows? It's always changing. Listen, but if you follow God's word, it doesn't change. That's eternal, and that's something that you can pass on to others. Does that make sense? And that's probably the hardest thing to do, but that's why the Bible says something to me, importante. This is in 1 Peter 1:23. It says, speaking to us, it says, but you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. And by the way, for those of you who went through the Gospel of Mark, what does the seed represent? The word, thank you. The seeds are the word of God, always, when he does his parable, scattering the seeds. You were born not of perishable seeds, but imperishable, because it's the word of God. It's eternal. He just said, man, God, the training yourself in godliness has a benefit in this life, because you can share it with other and the life to come. Listen, it's going to be around forever. Forever. You did accounting for many years. It's not going to be around forever. You stretched the dollar. Well, that might be around, but it won't be around forever. You know, whatever the case may be, but it says, but you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and eternal word of God. So he's like, that's right. Go for that spiritual training because it's going to last forever. Anything you take in God's word and you really hide it in your heart, just like, this is the reason I chose this picture. You see all those seeds going off those dandelions? Those are the seeds. If you train yourself to be godly with the eternal word of God, that's going to come out of your mouth, Judy, in a text. That's going to come out of your actions, Martha, when you meet with people. It's going to come across as you're helping people, as you're trying to bless them, for not just to be a blessing. Those seeds are going to go out to other people. And so it has value not only for this life, but for all eternity. Listen, the Bible says heavy things. This is in Matthew. This is in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. He says, think about this. Heaven and earth are going to pass away. It's all going to melt. It's going to roll up like a scroll, right? But my words will. So listen, you can learn any cool thing. Look, learn something on YouTube. Learn how to fix a car. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't substitute all those things and put aside the Word of God. That's the only thing that's going to be with you for your whole life and forever and does not change. Does that make sense? Call now. Get the Word. Operators are standing by. It goes on to say in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. It says, this is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That's why we labor and we strive, because we've put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people and especially of those who believe. Now, verse 9 can go with the verses that are above it that we just went over, or honestly, these verses below, because they're both worthy of full acceptance. However, but honestly, after I made the scripture picture, I thought, you know what? I bet it goes more with the other one right above it. So training yourself to be godly, getting that eternal word of God in you, okay, is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, but the same would apply to what's below as well. In verse 10, we see that spiritual exercise, daily devotionals, Bible studies, teachings, Christian books that you're reading, is not easy. It requires hard work, labor, your commitment, your time, your energy, and you're already tired. Somebody, a wonderful person, handed me a book Wednesday, and I was like, oh. I have to be honest. I was so grateful that this person was giving me a book, but then I was thinking, oh, another book to read. I got stacks. But you know what, Lord? You know what? Help me to invest that time. It came up with a recommendation. So, okay. All right. I'm going to check it out. I'm going to take a look at it, you know. But we have to do hard work. That word labor right here in Greek is kapiao, and it means to work until you're exhausted. So he's like, God's like, that's why we labor. He goes, I want you to work till you're exhausted. Now listen, I can watch TV till I'm exhausted, no problem. I can play a video game on my phone till I'm exhausted, right? I can nap till I'm exhausted. But you can work on the house until you're exhausted. But he's saying, I want you to work for me until you're exhausted. Well, I don't know, Pastor, if I can work once a month, because sometimes those children are just difficult. Work until you're exhausted. And you won't do it with your own power. You'll do it with the power that comes from Christ that lives in you. See, and if you're in the Word continually, you're going to be refilled and refed and refined and refired up. It says, and strive. The word is agonizomai, okay? Labor and strive, agonizomai. And that means to struggle through, to contend like you're a boxer against adversaries. It means to endeavor with a strenuous zeal. It's where we get our word, English word, to agonize. So it's not like being a Christian is, you know, let's have a donut and coffee. He's saying, I want you to work till you're exhausted. I want you to contend. I want you to endeavor with zeal and to work hard and strenuously to obtain that thing that God has already given you, to agonize over it. That's our God. Okay, and that's what he's calling you to do. And it says that he's the living God. I've talked about this before, so I won't go into too much detail, but we serve a God that's alive and present in our life. Listen, you don't, Martha, you don't serve a God who's died on the cross and that's it. And now we have nice, fanciful stories about him. You serve a God that is alive and present in your life. Right? He's called that all the way, even from the Old Testament. Our God is called the living God. Right? Okay, I want you to understand this. If you see him as somehow far away from you, overlooking everything, realize that he knows the number of hairs on your head. Sorry, Pastor. He knows everything about you and is intimately involved in your life because he loves you, Nick. Because he loves you, Whit. Listen, it says this, and this is on Jeremiah. I'm sorry, I said Isaiah, but it's Jeremiah 10:10. I had Isaiah up there first, and I changed it to Jeremiah when I was making the scripture. It says, but the Lord is the only true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. The whole earth will tremble at his anger. The nations cannot stand up against his wrath. Listen, there is one King. There is one God, and he is alive today. He rose from the grave, right? Thank you, Lord. In fact, it even says this. He's living to intercede for you. He's the living God and lives to intercede. In other words, this is his life. This is his joy. Terry, you're struggling with something. And Jesus is like, and you're like, Lord, I can't take. And you're praying. He's right there with you. He's praying right there with you. Listen, you can come boldly to the throne before me. I'm living to intercede. You're trying to overcome that temptation. You're trying to get through that whatever. And Jesus is right there with you. Listen, he's the living God. He is alive and he lives to intercede for you. This is Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. It says he lives forever to intercede for them with God on their behalf. This is his whole point. Listen, I can't do it. You have that running in your head, don't you?
We can't do it.
And that's the whole point. Yeah. Not that you can't do it and you're a loser so you give up. It's I can't do it, but I have a living God who is alive in me that can help me do things that I can't do. Does that make sense? His Holy Spirit lives inside. But think about this. He's the living God. He lives. This is amazing to me. Listen, I got to be honest with you. I consider myself a fairly godly person. I screw up sometimes. But, you know, I serve a lot, but I don't live, you know, forever to intercede. That's like 24, how can I help you? How can I strengthen you? How can I help you overcome this? How can I help you to grow? How can I help you get rid of that sin in your life? How? I'm here to help you. Ask me, I'll supply all that you need because I love you, kid. I love you. He loves you. You get the idea. You know what I'm saying? That's what he lives to do this for you. Yes, microphone.
And if he feels distant, you know, sometimes you have to come to the point that there might be something, you might be making a choice or a decision that, poor decision you're making that's keeping him, you know, seems like he feels apart because he's always there.
Yes.
It just, we also got to make sure, and I've been there, myself included, where I had to, you know, repent and make sure that whatever's clouding, whatever he has for me is gone.
Yes, you know, Jesus, where are you, Jesus? Can I tell you, there have been times when I've done, you know who moved? Listen, he lives to intercede for you. And not only that, but he says he's the savior of all people, especially those who believe. What does that mean? That does not mean that God saves everybody, but that any lost sinner can be saved. He has made a way through his blood, which we sang about today, so that whoever would believe in him, no matter what your past, no matter what you've done or haven't done or how bad you've messed up, he says that my blood will cover it. If you'll come to me, anyone who's willing, right, I'll give you the free gift of eternal life so that whoever would believe in me wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. It says he himself is our sacrifice that atones for our sins, not just for our sins, but the sins of the whole world. That means if you're a radical Muslim and you hated people and you held the coach for people who killed Christians?
Yeah.
He can save you. That's Paul, by the way. He goes on to say this in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 11 to 12. Listen, if you're, let's just say, 30s and under, especially listen right now. Okay, this is what he's saying to Timothy. He says this. He says, listen, I want you to command and teach these things. It's important. He says, don't let anyone look down upon you because you're young. Nathan, I'm going to use you as an example. I'm so sorry. I know you're not a perfect dude. I know you got issues. Okay? However, with that being said, I've seen God's hand on you since you were a little kid, even when you were a little stinker butt. And I've watched God move you, and I can see that God is moving you. I'll limit it, what I'm going to say, into other good things, okay? And so, but that also comes as you're seeking him. Part of the reason that God's blessing you is you're seeking him. And I don't want anyone to look down upon you because you're young, or you because you're young, but instead, set an example for the believers in speech, conduct, love, and in faith, and in purity. So in verse 11, there's an authority here. He's saying, I want you to command and teach these things. These are important, not just to Timothy, but for you and I. We need to listen. And we don't know Timothy's exact age. Sometimes they say it's between his late teens and early 30s, and we don't know. Scholars debate this stuff. Again, to me, that's like, it's taking my time away. How old exactly was he? I don't know. Who cares? He was young. And young is relative, okay? To be honest, no offense either. Nick, by the way, you're such a blessing. But I want to say something. You're in your 20s now, right? To me, okay, so 10, 20 years ago, I thought 20s, somebody's in their 20s, that's pretty old now. Now I look at somebody in your 20s, I'm like, you're a puppy. You're young. Not that I'm going to look down upon you, Yurko, because you're an example and you do a lot of good things. And for the Lord, I'm so grateful for you. But the bottom line is, whether it's a teen thing like Ezekiel and William or even your late 30s, whatever it is, Paul is speaking and he's saying this to you. He's probably in his 70s. But because Timothy was young, you know, he would probably be more susceptible to the temptations that a young man would face and the pressure and the criticism. Listen, when you're serving in ministry, oh my goodness, I had some online viewers say the most wonderful things about sermons that I've done. And then I have the worst criticism. Everybody, I could, you know how sometimes like I just, I did the hair thing, but all people be, or but I do that because I know you won't get mad. But I could look at you and say, look, the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. And then you would get so offended. How dare he? He humiliated me right in front of everyone. I have no idea. I'm just looking and talking. If the Holy Spirit is speaking something to you, then you say, thank you, Lord. I have no agenda here. I'm not picking you. He looked at me right at that point. He knows that blankety blank blank blank. I got no idea. I'm just preaching the word to you. Okay? The enemy wants to be, and that's what's going to happen to him. Probably from even folks that are older than him. And he's saying, set an example. Don't rely on others because they're older. You lead. You lead by example. And it says in speech, that means in the words, in your doctrine, in what you say, in what you don't say. Amen. Set an example. Ephesians 4:15 says, hey, grow up. Speaking the truth in love and in all things, you're going to grow up. See, when you speak those eternal truths to people, you're going to help them grow if you do it in a loving way. It has to be a loving way or you're having the opposite effect. But speak the truth in love. Two sides of that same coin, right? And it'll help people to grow. So set an example for them in how you speak to people. In fact, and also what you don't say. Listen, look at all those words, how they're going into her ear. Do you see that? Do you see that? Look at those words. Can you see some of them? The whole world is going to tell you things that are going to put you down. that are going to cut you down, that are going to damage you, that are going to destroy you. However, we've all got a mouth on us, especially if you're Italian. But he says, I want you to live a different way. Train yourself to be godly. Amen. Right? He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Coarse, dirty jokes, whatever it is. But only what's helpful for building up others. I'm not saying you can't joke with people or cut on them, but like when I made a joke about Pastor, he knows I'm joking, and he'll make another joke. He'll put me a picture of me with my face on a donkey up there or something. Who knows? But don't let that unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what's building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit others. As you speak that eternal word of God or good things, listen, you don't know what Mary-Kate has gone through in her life. You don't know what she deals with. So if she rubs you wrong today, you know what? How about you speak a blessing? How about you speak something encouraging to her? You might not know. She's very much put together. Maybe she needs a bit of encouragement today. Maybe Sarah does. Do you get what I'm saying? Maybe Rockin' Robin needs somebody to speak some truth to her in a loving way. Maybe Don needs, you know, just a blessing. Listen, be built up a little bit. Thank you, Don. You know, thank you for all the ways you help. Thank you, Rockin' Robin, for helping with the youth. Thank you. Does that make sense? Listen, I can't tell you the amount of power that you have. Listen, Ezekiel. Listen, William, you're young. You have an opportunity to really bless people with your words, or you can tear them down. Train yourself to be godly. Stop yourself from speaking the things you shouldn't, and train yourself to speak the things that you should, because you don't know what people are going through. If you knew what some of these folks in here have gone through, I bet you would speak differently to them. Take the time. Anyway, let's continue on. It says, also in your conduct, that's how you live, being purposeful and wise in how you act or behave towards outsiders. I didn't have time to make the scripture picture, but God's word says, be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. In other words, thoughtful, purposeful, because the enemy wants them to get mad at something you said, something you did, a look that you made. You know what? He just snarled his teeth right at me. Obviously, he doesn't like me. It's crazy. But he wants you to love, right? Set an example for them in love. That we should try to demonstrate God's kindness and compassion to everyone. Think about this. Thank you. Thank you for getting dressed this morning. Don, so glad. But God wants us to, listen, we can get angry. It's real easy to get angry. Liz, easy to get angry? Isn't it a lot to, you can get ticked off at anything, can't you? However, God wants you, instead of getting clothed in that anger or depression, he wants you to clothe yourself with love, with compassion, right? Therefore, as God's chosen people, it says in Colossians 3, 12, and 13, holy and dearly loved. Jesus, like saying, says, I sacrificed everything for you. I now want you to clothe yourself, put it on. That means you have to do it yourself. I don't want to be nice to my wife today. She didn't make me a smoothie. Oh, sorry, no, you did. Yes, you did. But I'm just trying to make it. See what I mean? Whatever it is, she didn't make me eggs and bacon.
Day's not over.
Yeah, it's not. Okay. All right. But you get what, right? Instead of getting, let me close myself. She works really hard, and she really is a good guy, a good woman, and a godly woman. Lord, I'm sorry. I was, you know, please forgive me. You know, honey, thank you for all that you do. Capiche? No? Why? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, listen to this. Also, in faith, that means being faithful to God and showing faithfulness to others. Set an example in your purity. That means sexually, yeah, but that also means your motives and your actions. Listen, we want to give to you. We want to bless you. When we ask for money from the tithes, we're giving it right back. We're taking it in. We're not. It's not like we're... somebody had mentioned we should build like a
lazy river.
Right. We're not, you know, nobody's buying a jet here. Okay. We get light bulbs. That's what I did. You know, anyways, that's what we're doing. 1 Timothy 4:13-14. As we close this out, how long? How long?
54.
Right. As we close out very quickly. It says, until I come, devote yourself to public reading of Scripture, of preaching and of teaching. In other words, I want you to focus on the Word of God and show them that you focus on the Word of God and they should focus on the Word of God. Do not neglect your gift which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. So first, devote yourself. Paul is telling Pastor Timothy, listen, I want the Word of God to be the first thing you're taking in you and giving out to the congregation. Not funny stories, not anything else. Make it the first priority, not the last priority. The public reading of Scripture. Listen, back then, it's not like everybody had a Bible, right? I mean, it was kept in a special Torah closet that only certain people could read at certain times. And it was, listen, you can have it whenever you want. Isn't that funny? But we don't do it. Public reading of Scripture, but also preaching. The Greek word means to implore, to exhort, persuasive talk, a stirring address. I want to stir you up to love and good deeds, not be fake about it. This is real. And also teaching, and that means learning, doctrine, instruction, teaching others the truths about God's word in their life. And it says, your gift. And in case you didn't know, when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, he gives you, first off, the gift of himself, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Number one, this is Ephesians 1, 13 to 14. It says that you're sealed, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the eternal word of God, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise and glory of his name. So he gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it says that you get a gift. He's telling them not to neglect your gift. In case you don't know, along with that Holy Spirit, God gives you at least one supernatural gift for the Holy Spirit. Some of us have multiple gifts. That's why we shouldn't neglect them or squander them. Listen, 1 Corinthians 12, 7 says this gift for you from God is a spiritual gift. A spiritual gift is given to each of us, it says. And here's the reason, so that we can help one another. Not we can hoard it for ourselves or I can start the Darren Shuttlebauer, you know, healing evangelistic discernment crusade. It's so we can help other people, okay? That's the main goal of it. And it says, don't neglect it. So oftentimes, God will also impart additional gifts to believers when he calls them for ministry or a work or a special project that a special task he wants you to do. And Timothy received these gifts from the elders that laid hands on him and prayed. Sometimes we don't have these things because we don't ask for them. But God says, I want you to ask. Well, I'll get to that in a second. But I even think Paul was one of the ones that laid hands on him, because it says in 2 Timothy, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. So listen, we can, if you want a gift from the Lord, or you want, sometimes I, for some reason, God has me pray for discernment for some people, the gift of discernment specifically. I don't do it. Everybody's not going to have the same gift. The body is not made that way. Otherwise, I wouldn't need anybody. He gives different gifts, and even there's even different workings of the same gift. It says, you can read it all about it in 1 Corinthians 12. But he gives it as he desires. But there are sometimes the Holy Spirit has prompted me to pray, like, Lord, I pray you give this person the gift of discernment. Now, whether he gives it to him then or 10 years from now or not at all, that's up to God. We can't force it. But anyway, but we should be asking. We should be knocking. This is in 1 Corinthians 12, 31. I want you to understand this. God has additional supernatural gifts from you. So you earnestly desire the most helpful gifts, right? So we should, God, listen, what do you have for me? A gift of helps, gift of prophecy. What do you want, Lord God? What do you want me to have? And ask him for it. Seek, knock, and you'll find, and the door will be open. But you should desire those gifts. Don't be afraid of anything God will give you, even if you've seen some wacko distort the gift. And these last two verses, 1 Timothy 4:15 says this, "Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress." Listen, some of you are telling me the progress that you're seeing in other people, and I love that. That means that God is working. I love what Chuck Swindoll said about this verse. He said, "When a pastor or Christian ministry worker becomes steeped in biblical truth and grows in wisdom and godliness, people notice. Authenticity is observed and respected. Eventually, people begin to believe they can experience that same transformation. So keep growing in your walk. As you grow older, grow deeper. Don't give up." Make sense? And then the last verse, and we'll close with this. It's in 1 Timothy 4:16. Just a typo I must have made. At least we're not live streaming this. Okay, anyway. It says, "Watch your doctrine, see your life and your doctrine closely." Just got a little magnifying glass there. "Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourselves and your hearers." Watch your life. Pay attention to how you live. Train yourself to be godly. Listen, that doesn't. We've created a pattern of sin in our lives. I've done it. You've done it. It's not okay, as God's saying. Might be thinking, might be talking, might be living, what you're saying, what you don't say, how you live, what you do. Whatever it is, we got to ask the Lord, "Please, Lord, get that out of my heart and my life." Blech. Right? We need to watch it. We need to be careful because the culture, our own flesh, and Satan and his demonic forces are all trying to say, "Oh, it's okay. Yeah, just go along with that sin. No big deal. You won't pay a hefty price. Just take a bite out of that apple, Eve." It wasn't an apple, but, you know, anyway, fruit. "Take a bite out of it. What, you know, just be like, no big, you know, whatever." And yet there are consequences that have lasted to this day. So you need to watch your life, and you need to train yourself to be godly. You need to watch your doctrine. There's so many bad teachings out there, I can't even tell you. I don't even think you know how much. But one thing I can tell you is we're going to want to do as much as we can to teach you right doctrine and all of the Word of God, so that if somebody gives you some bad stuff or bad Bible verses, you'll be able to go right back to the Word and say, "Wait a minute, I don't think this is right." And then it says, "Persevere in them." The one thing the enemy wants you to do, especially if you're ministering in some way, is to give up. Quit the school. Quit the children's ministry. Quit the serving in whatever ministry. Quit. Just quit. Just give up. Don't show up at the Bible study. Don't do the devotional. Just quit. And part of being a strong man and woman of God is persevering through stuff. Does that make sense? So don't be a pansy. Persevere. Okay? Because if you do, you're going to save yourself. In other words, you're going to have an assurance not only of your own salvation, but also you're going to have that assurance of others. There are people that I've known in my life now that I'm a little bit older and now that I'm in my 30s. Kidding, joke. That I can say when they died, I have complete confidence. I know where they're at. That's a wonderful feeling. And you know why? Not because they were perfect, because I know them, but I watched their life and their doctrine closely, and I watched them persevere. I saw them grow in the Lord, and I knew it was real. And I had a lot of joy knowing where they were. There are others. I don't have that same joy because I don't see that same growth. They haven't watched their life. They haven't watched their doctrine. They haven't trained themselves to be godly. And so I'm here to encourage you, just like Paul, train yourself to be godly. Be an example to the other believers. It doesn't matter if you're older or if you're younger. Right? Set an example for other believers around you. And of course, you do this in a humble way, right? The enemy always wants to attack, undermine, accuse. Look, you do it in a humble way. Nudge judgmental. Right. That's the opposite of Christ's heart. You do it in a way, right, that's loving and kind. You speak the truth in love, right? Watch your life. Watch your doctrine. Train yourself to be godly and let everybody see you grow in the Lord. Capiche? Make sense? Okay, let's pray. Does somebody feel led specifically to pray and close us out in prayer? Okay, anyone else? Okay. All right. All right, would you close us out? You don't have to if you feel led. Yeah, you have a microphone?
I'm going to try.
Okay. It's okay. Yeah, just... All right. If you feel led, then just do it. Here, stand. We're going to give you a microphone just for folks at home. Thank you, bro. Just pray.
Praise Heavenly Father. We thank you for this day.
Yes.
We ask that you would keep your hand upon us.
Yes,
Lord. Lord, we just thank you for everything you gave to us.
Yes,
Lord. Lord, there's nothing else that we'd like to do is to praise you, Lord. Yes. And we thank you for this day and the ones that couldn't be here.
Yes,
Lord. The sacrifice that you gave to us.
Yes.
Lord, we try to remember that every Sunday.
Yes.
Lord, that I would just ask you today, when everybody goes home today, Lord, that you would ease their comfort.
Yes.
And thank you for our pastor and his words today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Train yourself to be godly, my friends. Love you. God bless you.